First of all, a greeting in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, it would be vain to even endeavor to stand here this morning. Without what God means to us, who he is, and what he's done for us. We as men, or as Isaiah said, we're vile and undone. Men of unclean lips. Basically, we're nothing. I sometimes get I don't really get alarmed, but I get amused at the way people look at germs. You know, they go to Walmart or they go to some other place and they have these things there that they can get a hold of and wash their hands. And I think, how foolish. They're dirt. We're made of dirt. And yet we're precious in the sight of God. Not this body. This body is not precious. But we, who we are precious in the sight of God. But isn't it humorous, in a way, to think of someone just washing dirt? Anyway, I believe we should be clean. We should try to keep ourselves sanitary. And anyway, I found that to be quite something to think about as I see these fancy folks. To me, they look already quite washed and so forth, and yet they're very concerned that there might be some germs on this cart handle, and they clean it off so they don't get any germs. Anyway, that's not the message this morning. I don't know why that even came to my mind, but anyway, it did. The message that I would like to think about this morning is something that probably is we're all involved with, and that is time. Time. This morning, as we gathered here, according to my understanding, there must have been an established time that you're going to get together here. Because as we pulled in, there was one vehicle out here, and then there were Brother Leroy's and us, and there were two, three, and in a little bit there were a lot more. Why did these people come all at this time this morning? How did they even know to come at this time? And when you think about that, we have these clocks. I guess that's what we call them. And some are even talking clocks. They tell you it's 9:14 or it's this and that. And some don't tell you. You have to look at them and you have to read. And as children are born into the home, they learn to tell time. You teach them how to tell time. It's important. It's important to know what time it is. It's important if you have a job that you know that, and the man says, you're supposed to be here at 7:00. That was said about the frolic or the work day that you're planning. That means that if you want to be obedient, if you want to be useful, you're going to be there at 7:00. I go back to my early Christian life, And I worked at a place, and I was supposed to be there to help with some. They actually made the church pews. And, of course, I was a greenhorn there. I didn't know much, so my job was just sanding. But anyway, in my zeal, in this new experience of being a Christian, I got carried away in family devotions, and all at once the phone rang. Alvin, aren't you coming to work today? Oh, yeah, I'll be right there, you know. Because I forgot myself. Time. But isn't it going to be something? After that, we heard about fire this morning that's going to happen and different things that we have heard about here this morning. But one day, time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. Can you grasp that? I can't. I can't grasp in a day that has no time limits. I think it says that the sun is going to shine. It's always there. Don't need no electric lights. We won't need any. There's no night there, it says. Time. What is time? Can you tell me what time is? I'm not sure I know what time is. I know when the clock starts ticking away, it goes by seconds. Then minutes. And I'm not sure how many. There's probably a lot of other things in that second. You know, I don't know what all's in there. But it's made up of seconds. Then minutes. And it keeps going. But in all reality, no one can actually tell us what time is. In a sense. That one announcement that was made this morning was a blessing to me, and I just, my mind went back 54 some years, and I thought of when there was an announcement made that two have agreed to become one, and their names were Alvin and Mabel. And I just had to think, that was, you know, that day seemed to, in my mind, it was just like last week. And it's almost 55 years. But when I think of the future or of next week, it seems like it's, you know, it's a long way off, isn't it? Time. What is time? Well, time's a real blessing in this life. It really is. If we did not have time, if we did not have clocks, then probably some people would be coming into church about now. They knew, well, maybe they wouldn't even know it was Sunday. But maybe they'd be driving down the road and they see all these cars and they wonder, what's going on there? I'm going in to see. I don't know how all that would be. Time. Time gives us an organized way of doing things. It does. How important is time to you? How important is it when you have an agreement to be at a certain place at a certain time? I have some obligations that I promise for tomorrow. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to say when we do those things that, Lord willing, I'll do so and so. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. In fact, we don't even know if we're going to get home. And to bring it a little more serious than that, maybe you just lived a mile down the road here. I don't know where you live. You don't know if you're going to get home today. Life is serious. Life is serious. Time is one of the world's greatest mysteries. Time. I got this statement somewhere, and I don't know just where anymore, but no one can say exactly what it is. That's a pretty broad statement. Maybe someone here that can, but I can't. I don't know what time is exactly. Most human activities involving groups of people acting together at the same place at the same time. Most people do that. People could not do this if they did not all measure time in the same way. It's a marvel to me about the clocks. Clocks have gotten quite precise. Sometime recently, I think I saw a wristwatch at least advertised that says it will not vary. I forget just what it was, a very short time in a million years. It's that accurate, that timepiece. We have a clock or two at our house that even when it turns over to what we call daylight savings time, you never save any daylight, but that's what it says, and that clock will automatically go backward or forward. And it's interesting to watch that at night. I've done that a time or so, just to see what happens. What does that clock really do? And you're there and you're watching this clock, and that time keeps creeping up, and all at once, that hand. I mean, it just runs around there until it gets to the right place. Accurate. Time. Well, our God has a timetable too. He does. Maybe we should turn to Ecclesiastes and notice what God says about time. Well, first of all, let's look at Psalms 32 and notice one verse here. And this says, verse 6, Psalms 32, 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray in a time when thou mayest be found. Pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Have you ever stopped to think and to thank God that He allowed you to pray in a time when He may be found? You know, the Bible says that no man can come unto God, no person can come unto God unless God draws him. So young people, older people, we should be very, very thankful that God has called us. If you have peace in your heart, if you have peace, in your heart, it's probably up here. But if you have peace in your heart from God, there is no other peace. There is no other peace. I know what it's like to be disturbed. I know what it's like to be all troubled and guilty. I also know what it's like to have peace with God. And it says here, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. In a time when thou mayest be found. And I'm one that was guilty many times of spurning the Spirit of God. But God kept on. He didn't give up. And the reason God doesn't give up on someone is simply because he knows our heart. And he knows what's going to happen if we allow him to. Ecclesiastes 3, and you all know that scripture very well, I would expect. Ecclesiastes 3. And some of these things you wonder a little about, maybe. It probably varies with some people. It says, to everything there is a time, and a time to every purpose under the sun. It's a time to be born. Well, we know that's a fact. There's a time to be born. There comes that time. After conception, there comes a time when this soul is born. It receives the breath of life from God. God breathes into this being's nostrils the breath of life. And he becomes a living soul. A living soul. There's a time to die. Have you thought about that today? Have you thought about a time to die? Well, that's for the old people, isn't it? We just heard now of a man, what did you say, 99 years old, I believe? That he died. We had a lady down our way that died at 104, I believe. That's old. But do we know? Do we realize? Do we give recognition that as soon as there's breath, after that first whang, they're old enough to die. Old enough to die after that first cry. And they're so precious. Oh, they're so cuddly. We just love them, little children. But after a little while, that spirit that we don't appreciate, that selfish spirit, that spirit that doesn't want to share, as we heard in Sunday school, as we discussed here, and as we were taught, that just brings to mind something I have in my Bible here, I think, about I'll leave that, I believe. I hadn't prepared that for in this message. Selfishness. And I stand before you as a man that struggles with that. I'll just be plain open. I struggle with that. You know, I worked so hard. I sweat. I worked so hard to get this. You mean now give it away? I was challenged with that message, that story we heard in Sunday school. I got a pile of wood at home, and I'm looking forward to sit by the fire and enjoy that wood. I don't know if anybody else needs that wood or not. But there's a lot of ways to help. We have been such a blessed people in this country of ours. Anyway, going back to the scripture here. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which was planted. Time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. Time to weep, time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Time, what is it? Time is so fleeting. It moves so fast. We're living in a day that everything changes so fast. We have machinery that, well, it doesn't think, and yet it almost seems, it almost thinks. But it doesn't. It can't think. Nothing is made like the human mind. And yet, it's fascinating. It changes so fast, man can hardly keep up with it. And I wonder sometimes why we even try. You know, we've been here for so many years. Why do we even worry about trying to keep up with the times? And yet, we have to do with it. We have to think about it. We have to do with these things. Time is made up of moments. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 52. In a moment. How long is a moment? At the last trump, the trump shall sound. The dead shall rise, be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In one place it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We can't even measure how long it takes for you to blink your eye. It's just so fast, so fast. In a moment. I said time is made up of moments. Moments. How many moments are there in a minute? How many moments are there in an hour? I don't know. Time. Fleeting time. Sometimes we hear someone say, I'm just killing time. Yeah. I have nothing to do, so I'm just killing time. Well, we kill rabbits and we kill stuff like that, but you can't kill time. Time goes on. You can't stop it. You can't kill it. We can do nothing with time. Time to be born, and then a time to live a life, and then a time to die. I guess then, in a sense, time is killed when you die. It's dead. I guess that would be right. Daniel chapter 5. have the word here in an hour. Time is made up of moments, minutes, hours. Daniel 5 says this way, in the same hour. What does that mean, in the same hour? But the seriousness is that in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Can you imagine a hand? Doesn't even say there was an arm, just a hand out there, a finger, and it's writing back there on the wall, or up here on the wall, and it says, what would that have done to me and you? What did it do to this man's appearance, or what did it do to his heart? What did it do to him when he saw these fingers? You know, it's weird. Be weird. And I see things today sometime with this technology that's weird also. I don't know how it's done. I don't know how it works. This here was from God. The same hour came fingers of a man's hand, and they wrote over against the candlestick. They wrote up there a serious thing. King started to tremble. Yeah. Have you ever had any experiences like that? I have. I've had some fears. I didn't see the handwriting or so, but I've had some things that, yeah, it shook me up. I mean, it got me thinking seriously about life. And what that is plain guilt. It's when God puts his finger on something in your life. Maybe you didn't experience any of that. But some of us have. Some of us have experienced such things. Some of us have lived in the depths of sin. And we knew what it was to come home late at night. And maybe a car following you down the road, and you would quickly park that car, run with all your worth, and get into the house in the safety of home because of your guilt. Thought somebody was after you. God can do that with us if we have a sinful life. He can, and he does. That's his drawing. That's his mercy. That's his kindness. And that's in this life, in time, in time. Yes, time. John chapter 11. Verses 9 and 10, John 11. Jesus answered, this was to a question. The question was, his disciples saying to him in verse 8, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Going up to Jerusalem? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. He falleth. He stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And that's where the sinner is. That's where the sinner is. He stumbleth. He falls. And that's where we have been. Unless we're still there today. I trust we're not. Genesis 8. Verse 3. This is a scripture on days. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters abated. Again, a measure of time. When this flood was, and it had rained for 40 days and 40 nights. This past week or a week ago, we had like 10 or 12 inches of rain in 1 week. And I mean, the ground was saturated. We had some puddles even standing. We had, little ponds. Went out to feed some hay to the cows, and the skid steer went down on his belly. He couldn't swim because it was, saturated. But 40 days and 40 nights, there could be a lot of water falling down. I mean, it was interesting in a way to watch this rain just straight down, just looked like streams of water coming for days and nights there. Forty days rain. But then it stopped. And the waters returned. I'm not a farmer. We do have a couple beef cows, but we're not farmers. But we have some farmers there that grow corn. And this water came, and the corn looked yellow in spots. Quite a bit of it. You know what it looks like when it's wet. Corn was very short yet. A few days later, as I went to town, this short corn was, it just really grew after the sun shone. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. You know, we can be so scared and we can be so, But if we allow the sun that we talked about this morning, that we heard in our devotions, it gives life. Makes us strong. We can go again. What all's that got to do with time? Well, if we wouldn't have had the rain, if we just have sun, it wouldn't work either, would it? Takes it all. Takes the balance. I don't know how your church services would be, but I can imagine that they wouldn't be very interesting if you were here all your waking hours, just every day, day after day after day after day. Don't you think it would get a little drab? And I'd be all right for a week or so, a couple weeks. But after a time, people wear you out. Did you know that? Sure you did. People wear us out. And after so long a time, we just like a little quiet time, don't we? Jesus himself said that. He said, come ye apart a while and rest a while. Come back, come and rest and get refurbished. But it's so good when we can come together and worship and love each other and have a good time together. Just yesterday being at the wedding we were, and I don't know what all happened there, but all at once we realized that it's a lot later than we thought it was. I think it was about 6:30 when we left there or something like that. It was an afternoon wedding, but I don't know where the time went. It was just, we were enjoying ourselves and I didn't have a watch on, you know, we have these cell phones now, so we depend on those, and I wasn't carrying that, so time got away. First thing we knew, Anyway, time. Psalm 69, another psalm there I'd like to make a note of. Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. Have you ever tried to pray knowing you should, but it just wasn't open. It just wasn't quite there. Maybe you had the form, but it really wasn't quite, yeah. You didn't really connect. There's an acceptable time with the Lord. The Lord draws us. The Lord speaks to us. And I don't know how to put it all together, but there's a time. We should never spurn the time. We should try our best to do what we can in time. It comes to my mind in the natural work when I was responsible and had men with me and so forth. I would tell them that, you know, you need to keep busy. The thing that bothered me, disturbed me the most, is to see the owner come around and some of my men are sitting down instead of being on their feet. I said, at least you can do is stay on your feet. Make it look as though you want to do something. Not just, yeah. Time. We can waste time. We can waste time. And I wonder sometimes today in our society of our jabber, how much time we waste in talking. How much time do we waste in talking? Now, we like to have fellowship, but they say a good conversation takes listening as well as talking, doesn't it? It takes someone to listen. May God help us to listen and to hear. And I need to grow in that. I need to hear when people speak. May God help us. We have so much growing to do in this time. And the Bible says that if you do everything you know to do, then you should still say, I'm an unworthy servant. Something to that effect. So I need to write that down, Alvin. If you've done everything you know to do, then still remember, you're unworthy. You're unworthy. We are. We are unworthy. Psalms 89 is another one for us to remember about time. And it says this way, Psalms 89 and verse 47. Probably should break in about 46. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What is man that thou art, that What is man that liveth? And what shall not, and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. And I believe, I really believe that we need to remember how short our time is. Now we're blessed. I'm blessed because I'm older now. When I was back in 20, 25, 30, I hardly gave a thought of how short my time is. Yeah, I knew that, yeah, something could happen. I could have an accident. This could happen and that could happen. But I didn't give a lot of thought to it. But now as I look at the 80-year mark, and I look at how few people live that are 80 and older, then I think more seriously of time. I still make plans, and someone has said that we should, in this life, we should live as though we're going to be here for 100 years and yet think that it's possible that we're soon going to be gone. I forget just how that phrase goes. Maybe you remember it, but it's something like that. But, we should live as though we're going to die tomorrow, but prepare, you know, do the best we can with everything we have. Prepare to live long. Time. How much time do you think you have? Well, we're gambling, we're speculating when we do that. A lot of people have died younger than I am. And some have died older. We were just recently to a funeral. The lady was 98, I believe, something like that. 88, excuse me. I was 10 years off there. Now this man that we talked about this morning, that's 99. But as soon as we're born, we're old enough to die. We are. May God help us to measure our time properly, do the way we should. And even at our best, we're not going to make it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11 puts it this way. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to the to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in the evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Think of a man, I don't remember his name, but he had a reputation of always driving fast. And his daughter said that she knew that if it ever happened, it was going to be bad. He had an accident way down south on one of the two-lane highways, and his Corvette was mangled, and his body, his life was gone. He was a worldly man. Time and chance happen to all. And sometimes it's suddenly. passes away. And time is gone. Time is gone. Then we enter into that, for lack of word, we say that time span or that time, which is eternity. When there is no clock, when there is no measure, when it just, and I don't know how it's going to be. It seems like it would be kind of drab in a way, and yet we know it's not going to be. It's going to be wonderful, wonderful. We won't get tired of sitting in church every day or praising God. It's going to be a wonderful time. And yet, that's not the right word, because it won't be time. It'll be eternity. I feel I've been dabbling around here on things that I don't understand. Just been saying words. Haven't experienced them. I really don't hardly know what I've been talking about. But may God give us grace to, in faith, continue on in this time until time shall be no more. May God help us. And I looked a little bit in the song book. I couldn't find that song. I'm not sure if it's in there, if it has a different title or something. But anyway, there's a song that says, "Time is filled with swift transition." And that's, I guess, was my burden on my heart about our time today. It's so fast moving. The people that understand technology to a measure say that the stuff changes so fast that when you get a hold of this, it's already past. There's something new out there. And I don't know what we're supposed to do with all that stuff. People ask me sometimes, "Don't you wish you were younger?" Why, no, brother. I'm glad I'm as old as I am. Because we're going to leave this world. We have more promise of leaving the older we get. And yet I want to be here as long as God wants me here. And you do too. You do too. Let us kneel together and pray.